Welcome back to Crunch Time. It's time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by the Josh Cooley team of Keller Williams Realty. Alex presents the prospectus. Steve lets us know if he's buying, selling, or if it's pending. Sell your home worry-free with Josh Cooley, Keller Williams Realty.
Gotta respect the bell. Gotta respect the bell. Welcome back to Crunch Time, final segment on a Wednesday. That means the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to give Steve some stories. I'm going to give him a prospectus from that story. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling or if it's pending. He sometimes actually uses that, and I always make fun of him for sometimes always using it, and then he usually uses it. So we'll see if he does that today. The Golden State Warriors in trouble. Now down 3-1 to the Thunder, and despite having the best regular season in NBA history, they are on the verge of elimination. Remember when the Bulls had their amazing season and they wore those shirts that said 72-10 don't mean a thing without the ring? That same mantra apparently does not apply to the Warriors this year because they are playing like hot garbage. And the Thunder look like the best team in the NBA. Part of it has to do with their inability to stop Westbrook. Part of it is Draymond Green kicking people and not playing well. Part of it has to do with reports saying Steph Curry is only playing at 70% and it is affecting his play. Now, all of those are legit reasons for the Warriors on the brink of elimination, but several reports today point to the last one as the biggest reason. Steph clearly isn't at his best, but Golden State only has one game in the playoffs under 100 points, meaning they're still scoring, and also that they're not playing defense. But the prospectus, Steph Curry playing at 70% is the biggest reason the Warriors are down 3-1.
Nah, I think it's an improved OKC team, and Golden State is playing the playoffs like it's the regular season. They're not adjusting at all. They think they're going to bounce back or something. They don't realize that even though they went through it last year, it's like this team, the Thunder, is learning and making changes. I mean, they're still launching threes and going through the motions like, we'll make it up tomorrow. They pull this crap tomorrow. There ain't no tomorrow. So, no, I'm going to sell that.
Billy Donovan outcoaching Pop and Steve Kerr in back-to-back series. That's amazing.
That
amazing. The Dark Knight is falling. Matt Harvey has been absolute bunk this season, including getting shelled by the Nationals yesterday. The tune of 3 home runs, 5 earned in 5 innings, which gave him his 3rd loss in a row, his 4th in his last 5 starts. He is 3-7 on the season, a 6.08 ERA. Some have said that he should be removed from the starting rotation for the Mets for at least a while so he can shake whatever it is that is making him suck at the moment. Some have said that he should be demoted to Triple A, but you go to the Mets website and he's still listed as number one in their rotation, a rotation that includes DeGrom, Syndergaard, Cologne, and Mats.
Mats,
by the way, stellar today. This year, he is clearly the weak link in that lineup. So with the depth that the Mets have, there's an argument to be made that they could afford to have Harvey skip a few starts to get it right, or just move him down to Triple A. The prospectus, whether it be for the short or long term, the Mets should remove Matt Harvey from their starting rotation.
Well, today Terry Collins came out and said, stop. He's making his start on Monday. I'll tell you what, last 3 outings, 13 innings, 16 earned runs. He gives another of those run an inning deals, and there won't be a conversation. For right now, I say because of the shape they're in, the fact it's May, I'm going to sell that, but we may have a very different conversation Tuesday morning.
I was going to say that might be a good use for pending, but whatever, you know, teach you something.
No, right now, I insist he stays in.
Fair enough.
Because it can turn around.
Give him
he
one
gets
more.
Racked. It's yep. Like, dude, it's 4 starts. You can't get anybody out. Bye.
Huge news for Oregon basketball today. Dylan Brooks, Tyler Dorsey announced they will forego the NBA draft and return to school next season. I'm not sure many are actually surprised at the decision, but it should make Daniel Altman and Oregon fans really excited for what next year's team can be, coming off an Elite Eight appearance. And if Dylan Ennis is granted another year, returning all but 2 players from that roster. And oh, by the way, Brooks happened to be Oregon's leading scorer last season. Dorsey was arguably one of their best offensive weapons towards the end of last season. Add to that, Oregon got 4 4-star players in the last recruiting cycle, including for the 2nd year in a row, the best JC recruit in the country in Cavell Bigby Williams. Oregon is stacked. absolutely stacked for really the first time in Dana Altman's time in Eugene. A CBS Sports story said if Ennis comes back, Oregon should be a top five team in the preseason. Others say they should be anyways. The prospectus, preseason, Oregon Hoops is the favorite to win the conference and a top five team in the country.
Well, first of all, only deluded Vernon Adams fans and supporters are surprised that Brooks and Dorsey are coming back and not the top two picks in the draft. Little green and yellow Kool-Aid reference there. But there's not even a question. I don't even think it has anything to do with Ennis. They won the conference last year. Utah lost Poeltl. So on the come, a lot of pollsters are not big on that. They're an Elite Eight team bringing most of their horses back. That's an easy buy.
I almost asked you if they're a national title favorite, but you know, I feel like that was going too far. Anyway, the Pac-12. If
they're top five, they are. Not a favorite, but they're in the picture for sure.
The Pac-12 announced a few changes yesterday, among them that they would begin to broadcast video game competitions on the Pac-12 network. They announced the Sean Miller rule, which fines institutions for storming the court or the field after games. And they also announced a new arrangement with Fox and ESPN that will allow 2:30 and 6 p.m. start times for football games instead of that usual 7:30 slot that had some in the media and some in the fan bases annoyed. As far as we're concerned, the earlier the better so we can get home at a decent hour. But as a caller pointed out yesterday, the amount of late starts was generally limited and meant that the Pac-12 was the only thing going in the middle of the night on the East Coast. Pac-12 after dark, if you will. Now Pac-12 after dark will have to be Pac-12 during and around sunset. The prospectus, getting rid of late night kickoffs was a good idea by the Pac-12.
Well, for selfish reasons, I love it. And I guess there's an element of logic to if it's your conference, the region will watch, make yourself more available to eyes outside of your time zone. So, yeah, I'm going to buy that one.
The Raiders going to Vegas has been in the ether for a little while now. The most recent story coming out of Oakland saying that friend of the show, Ronnie Lott, and husband of Holly Robinson, Rodney Peete, like that one, are working to keep the Raiders in the town. Both of them apparently leading an investment group to help the team build a new stadium in Oakland that would keep them there for the long term, essentially. Sounds good, but Mark Davis has said several times that he wants the team to end up in Vegas. Vegas officials have said they are ready for an NFL team, and even Jerry Jones commented on it, saying he is in favor of the Raiders moving to Vegas. But then there's the elephant in the room, the fact that Vegas is the gambling capital of America, and that the league just got over a huge issue with DraftKings and essentially needs to distance itself from gambling, at least on paper. Tough to do if you're in Las Vegas. The prospectus, you buy or sell the Raiders eventually moving to Vegas?
Here's the deal. If the Davis family in the NFL thinks it'll make them more money and solidify the franchise, they'll move there. But I don't think Vegas is a factor at all. So I absolutely buy it's possible they land in Sin City.